Welcome to A Time of Hope with highlights of last Sunday's worship service. I'm Russell Cobb, the pastor of United Church of Christ of California and the Salem United Church of Christ. Our services will be online only the next two Sundays, and you can catch us online at our website, www.calmo-ucc.org. This Sunday, we continue our sermon series on the book of 2 Timothy called Remember. This is Apostle Paul's last letter before his death. He wants to make sure his special disciple, Timothy, remembers what is important as he carries on the gospel message. This week we will see in chapter 2 that Paul wants us to remember Christ's teachings. 2 Timothy 3:14 says, "But as for you, continue what you have learned and have become convinced of, because you know those from whom you have learned it." Check out chapter 2 to see how God's word needs to be part of our daily lives so we can pass it on to the next generation. 2 Peter 1:12 says, "So I will always remind you of these things, even though you know them and are firmly established in the truth you now have." Peter, like Paul, was near the end of his life when he wrote 2 Peter, and the most important thing to him was God's word. Don't neglect the powerful promises found in God's word that can help you each and every day. May God bless you with his might and his security. Thank you for listening.
Thanks to everyone here, and also welcome to our online people watching us on the TV or computer. Glad to join us this morning. Well, hey, I'm glad everybody's here. Let's make it a time of worship and joyfulness. So let's have our call to worship together. The Holy One is here in this community of faith. Let us bless the Holy Name forever and ever.
Great is our God, and greatly to you praise.
Let us meditate on God's wondrous works, blessing and praising God's name forever and ever.
Amen.
So let's all pray together this morning. Almighty God, we give you thanks for this life and all its blessings, for joys great and simple, for gifts and powers more than we deserve, for love at the heart of your purpose and a surpassing wisdom in all your works, for light in the world brought once in Christ and shining ever through his Spirit. Through Jesus Christ we pray. Amen.
Our anthem, "We Live by Faith," is sung by our senior choir, directed by Stacy Frederick. scripture lessons are read by Alan Martinson. It's followed by Pastor Cobb's sermon, Remember His Power.
Our first lesson this morning comes to us from Acts chapter 20, verses 32 through 38. And now I commend you to God and to the word of his grace, which is able to build you up and to give you inheritance among all those who are sanctified. I coveted no one's silver or gold or apparel. You yourselves know that these hands ministered to my necessities and to those who were with me. In all things, I have shown you that by so toiling, one must help the weak, remembering the words of the Lord Jesus, how he said, "It is more blessed to give than to receive." And when he had spoken thus, he knelt down and prayed with them all. And they all wept and embraced Paul and kissed him, sorrowing most of all because the word he had spoken, that they should see his face no more. And they brought him to the ship. This ends the first lesson. The second lesson comes to us from Ephesians chapter 1, verses 15 to 21. For this reason, because I have heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus and your love toward all the saints, I do not cease to give thanks for you, remembering you in my prayers, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give you a spirit of wisdom and of revelation in the knowledge of him, having the eyes of your hearts enlightened, that you may know what is the hope to which he has called you, what are the riches of his glorious inheritance in the saints, and what is immeasurable greatness of his power in us who believe, according to the working of his great might, which he accomplished in Christ when he raised him from the dead and made him sit at his right hand in the heavenly places, far above all rule and authority and power and dominion, and above every name that is named, not only in this age, but also in that which is to come. This ends the second lesson.
Thank you, Alan, and thank you, choir. I mean, what an appropriate song. Not by faith, not by sight, but we live by faith. And man, what an appropriate song for this time right now. And if you want to, we're going to be in 2 Timothy for the next three Sundays. We're starting a new sermon series called Remember. Paul writes this letter to Timothy. It's his last letter. Paul knows that his life is about over. He knows this imprisonment is going to be the end of everything for him. And he wants to make sure that he gets everything across to Timothy and the church at Ephesus, where Timothy is serving, that is important. And November for me is a very special month. I love November. It holds my favorite holiday, Thanksgiving. And when I think about November, I think my mind runs to Southwest Missouri, a little town just east of Branson called Forsyth, and even a little spot in the road called Mildred on Highway 76. And then just a couple houses on down the road there on Highway M to where my aunt and uncles all live. And all of us cousins would get together for Thanksgiving. And my memory just runs back to just, you know, all kinds of football games on the front yard and in Grandma and Grandpa's front yard for a lot of years. And then we moved to Aunt Rita's house and Aunt Betty's house to play football with all the cousins. There were six of us within 5 years of each one. And we had played board games. We would eat. We'd watch cowboy football. Probably not going to do that this year, Doug. I don't think it's going to be a good thing. So we might find something else to do. But my memory runs to those types of memories this time of year. It's also when I kind of got involved with deer hunting. And next week is the opening of gun season. In fact, I killed my very first deer on Thanksgiving at the age, I think, of 23 or 24. I didn't hunt when I was younger, but started hunting out in Indiana when we were serving out there. And I killed my very first deer out there in a little county called Jay County, Indiana, a little town called Portland. And got my first deer and was so excited about that. But just have lots of memories, hunting with my dad, hunting with friends. And looking forward to this coming weekend just to get out again and just enjoy nature and just make some more memories. As I visited with the Kiefer family yesterday afternoon talking about Brad and his love of hunting and different things, and you know, they talked about how important it was to him to not only take his kids out, but take his nieces and nephews out. And that's where he really enjoyed hunting, was sharing it with other people and making those memories. And so when we come here to 2 Timothy, we're going to be in chapter 1 this morning. We're going to be looking at remember. What do we need to remember that's important? We're going to look at three things the next three Sundays. First of all, we're going to look at today, remember his power. Remember God's power. Next week, we're going to look at remember his teaching. And then finally, on November 22nd, we celebrate Totenfest. And we remember all the people that have passed away in the last year. And we've had a lot, not only in this church, but in our community. We're going to look at chapter 4 of 2 Timothy. And we're going to remember our reward. Because that's what Paul talks about in chapter 4. In his very last words, you know, he talks about what is awaiting him and us. And so as we look at 2 Timothy chapter 1, we're going to look at remembering God's power. Timothy came on the scene in chapter 16 of Acts. Paul was going through some little towns and came across a young man that became one of his most precious disciples. And then we see him throughout the book of Acts and also mentioned in other letters in the New Testament. We're going to look at this morning, what can we remember about God's power that can help us in our daily life? So let's look then. We're going to read the first chapter of 2 Timothy. Paul starts out, he says, Paul, an apostle of Christ Jesus, by the will of God, in keeping with the promise of life that is in Christ Jesus. To Timothy, my dear son, in some translations, my beloved son, grace, mercy, and peace from God the Father and Christ Jesus our Lord. He says, I thank God, whom I serve as my ancestors did, with a clear conscience, as night and day I constantly remember you in my prayers. Recalling your tears, I long to see you so that I may be filled with joy. I am reminded of your sincere faith, which first lived in your grandmother Lois and in your mother Eunice, and I am persuaded now lives in you also. For this reason, I remind you, he says, I want you to remember these things. Fan into flame the gift of God which is in you through the laying on of my hands. For the Spirit God gave us does not make us timid, but it gives us power, love, and self-discipline. So do not be ashamed of the testimony about our Lord or of me, his prisoner. Rather, join with me in suffering for the gospel by the power of God. He has saved us and called us to a holy life, not because of anything we have done, but because of his own purpose and grace. This grace was given us in Christ Jesus before the beginning of time, but it has now been revealed through the appearing of our Savior, Christ Jesus, who has destroyed death and has brought life and immortality to light through the gospel. And of this gospel, I was appointed a herald and an apostle and a teacher. That is why I'm suffering as I am. Yet this is no cause for shame, because I know whom I have believed, and I am convinced that he is able to guard what I've entrusted him until that day. That's where we get that hymn that we sang a couple Sundays ago. What you heard from me, keep as the pattern of sound teaching with faith and love in Christ Jesus. Guard the good deposit that was entrusted to you. Guard it with the help of the Holy Spirit who lives in us. He says, you know that everyone in the province of Asia has deserted me. Man, has there ever been a sad, discouraging statement than everybody in Asia has deserted me, including Phygelus and Hermogenes. May the Lord show mercy to the household of Onesiphorus, because he often refreshed me and was not ashamed of my chains. On the contrary, when he was in Rome, he searched hard for me until he found me. May the Lord grant that he will find mercy from the Lord on that day. You know very well in how many ways he helped me in Ephesus. So when he tells us to remember his power, he's telling us in several areas that God's power can help us in our daily lives. Number one, he knows the power of a faithful and unfaithful examples, the power that they have on people. When you look at verses 3, 4, and 5, he talks to Timothy about his grandmother and his mother and now this sincere faith that lives in him also. Faith starts with someone before it's relayed to someone else. And in Timothy's case, it came from his grandmother and his mother. He saw the genuineness of their life, the genuineness of their faith, and it made an impact on him. He says, that's the way that I want to live. That's the power of an example in Christ Jesus, a faithful example in Christ Jesus. My mind goes back to 9th Street Christian Church in Eldon, Missouri, and I think of the saints that were there and no longer with us on this side of heaven. I think of Lawrence Admire. I think of Wilmer Lake. I think of Ernest and Myrna Leslie. I think of Bert and Ruth McDonald, who I would take communion to. That's how I learned to deliver home communion. I think of living examples right now, Donna, Lisa Steen, Ron and Sharon Buster, Pat and her late husband Cliff McKinley, that lived their faith then, and they still live their faith today as they've gotten older and more mature and became grandparents now. But I've seen them live their faith through all kinds of tough situations. And it's the same kind of impact that our examples can have today on the people around us in our family and in our community. And people are looking to us. How are we handling what's going on in our society? How are we handling what's going on in our community right now? What kind of example do we have? Paul talks about positive examples of Onesiphorus. He says, you know, not everybody came to look for me in Rome. He says, I was arrested. I'm considered a criminal in a Roman prison. People have deserted me, but one person looked for me. And when he got to me, he refreshed me. He lifted up my spirits. Paul will mention other names when you read through 2 Timothy. He called people out. He called them by name. You look in chapter 2, he mentions a Philetus, and he mentions a Hymenaeus. And then in chapter 4, he mentions Demas, who loved the world and deserted me. He talks about Alexander the metalworker, who's done me great harm. Just as much as we can impact people positively, we can bring them down negatively by the example that Paul talks about the people here. What is the power of your spiritual example right now having on the people around you? You know, we read the prayer in Ephesians chapter 1. We read about Acts chapter 20 when Paul knelt down and prayed and the people wept because they were not going to get to see Paul again. That was his message to them. What kind of impact do we have with our example? That's the power that God gives us, because then we lean into the second thing that we know, the power that we have from God, the power to use the gifts that we've been blessed with. He mentions it there in verse 6. He says, for this reason, I remind you again, I want you to remember to fan into flame the gift of God, which is in you through the laying on of my hands. We read about in 1 Timothy chapter 4. For the Spirit God gave us does not make us timid, but gives us power. He talks about fanning into flame. He says, you know, don't let your gift go cold, just like a fire, you know, starts to burn out. You know, I talked about my love of Thanksgiving going down to my grandpa and grandma's or my aunts and uncles. And when we were young, you know, back those days, November meant cold weather, not like it is right now. We've had great weather this week. Next week doesn't look too bad. But many Thanksgiving, when we would go down there, it would be cold. And grandpa and grandma's house only had a fireplace to keep the whole house warm. And so when we would go to bed, they would put several quilts on us. And I remember waking up in the morning, I'd wake to hear that sound of grandma's feet shuffling down the wood floor, hear grandpa's boots on the wood floor, because I knew he was going to the fireplace. He was going to stoke those coals again. He was going to feed the flame, get it all warm. And then when I knew that he'd been there sufficient enough of time, it would be time for me to get up and run to the fireplace and get warm. You know, I love a good weenie roast. I love good marshmallow roast. I love a good fire. I'm kind of a little pyromaniac myself. If I'm burning things there, I'm constantly around the fire. And if you know you got to burn a fire right, you got to pay attention to it. You got to make sure it's getting oxygen. When it starts to fall over, you got to prop it up so it keeps burning the proper way. That's what Paul is talking to Timothy about right here. He says, don't let your gift go cold. He said, don't ignore your gift. Whatever gift you have, fan it into flame so everybody can benefit from the warmth of it. We get a listing of different gifts in Romans chapter 12 and 1 Corinthians chapter 12. And I'm going to read from Romans chapter 12, verses 6 through 8. He says, but we have gifts, different gifts, according to the grace given to each of us. If your gift is prophesying, then prophesy in accordance with your faith. If it is serving, then serve. If it is teaching, then teach. If it is to encourage, then give encouragement. If it is giving, then give generously. If it is to lead, do it diligently. If it is to show mercy, do it cheerfully. Some gifts are obvious. Some gifts are not so obvious. That's what 1 Corinthians chapter 12 talks about. Some most important parts of our bodies are the ones that we don't see, but they're the most important ones that make a difference in the body of our physical bodies. And he's saying the same thing to each one of us here. Each one of us has been blessed with a spiritual gift. We've got to fan it into flame. I got a call on the phone this week, earlier this week, from Morris Berger. He called me on the phone, and you know, I'm the one that should be calling on him, but Morris calls me. He says, you know, Reverend, I just want to tell you how lucky we are to have you. He said, I appreciate everything that you're doing. Man, you know, this is tough times. I appreciate our leadership. I just appreciate what you're doing. And he said, I just want to, you know, just lift you up and let you know, you know, how glad that we are that you're here. And he said, if there's anything that I can ever do for you, just let me know. And I said, Morse, you've already done it. You called me. I tell you, in our world right now, people need calls, they need cards, they need contacts, they need touches. We can't touch physically hardly anymore, can we? Because of all the worries that we have of spreading a virus. And to me, that's been one of the worst things that's happened, is that people are losing touch with one another. But he tells us that we've got a gift that we need to fan into flame. Let God speak to how you can be used, how you can be moved to touch people in our community. Because then he talks to us about the power to overcome shame, despair, and death. He mentions three different times in the first chapter of 2 Timothy about being ashamed. Look at verse 8, says, so do not be ashamed of the testimony. Then look down at verse 12, yet this is no cause for shame. And then in verse 16, when he's talking about Phygelus and Hermogenes, then he talks about Onesiphorus. He says, may the Lord show mercy to the household of Onesiphorus, because he often refreshed me and was not ashamed of my chains. Man, right now there's a lot of despair. There's a lot of discouragement. It's hard to stand up sometimes for our faith. Paul says right here, we've got the power to overcome shame. We've got the power to overcome despair. We've got the power to overcome our fear of death. And I think we need to be reminded of the words that Jesus gave us in Luke chapter 9. Whoever is ashamed of me, in my words, the Son of Man will be ashamed of them when he comes in his glory, in the glory of the Father and of the holy angels. He says, if you can't stand for me publicly in the public arena, people don't know that you're a Christian in the public arena, I might not remember you as well. I know I've been in groups of people and, you know, people that, and a guy's been leading it, someone that's well known, my youth minister who's really well known in our the movement or the Christian denomination. I came out of 9th Street and I've been in groups with him before, and he has taken time to say, hey, it's good to see Russ back there. How does that feel when someone points you out of a whole crowd to remember you and point you out? That's what Paul is saying here. How do we overcome that shame, that despair, and that death? He tells us in verse 12, he says, because I know whom I have believed, and I'm convinced that he's able to take care of what's most important in my life. How do we overcome those things? We do it by knowing Jesus personally, trusting him, giving him the safest things that we have, the most important things that we know that he can take care of them. When the day comes when I have to answer for the things of this life, I've already put them away in a perfect place that God's going to bring out and just say, I've got it all taken care of. And then in verse 10, I read this little nugget, and I love reading it again. But it has now been revealed through the appearing of our Savior, Christ Jesus, who has destroyed death and has brought life and immortality to light through the gospel. Read that again. Christ Jesus, who has destroyed death and has brought life and immortality to light through the gospel. How do we overcome fear and shame and despair? We do it because we know Jesus. We do it because we trust him, and because Jesus has already gone through it for us. It doesn't mean that we're not going to experience the sting of death, but it's not the final. As Jesus told Mary and Martha about their brother Lazarus, I'm the resurrection of life. He who believes in me will never die. They will live forever. And that's how we can overcome those fears. And then it brings us then to what's the genesis of all of that. He tells us the power of the gospel and his grace. God's grace, God's gospel gives us the power to save us and bring us from back from the brink of defeat. Look what he says there in verses 9. Just verse 9. He has saved us and called us to a holy life, not because of anything we have done, but because of his own purpose and grace. This grace was given us in Christ Jesus before the beginning of time. The reason that we have the power to overcome shame and despair, the power that we have to share our gifts, the power to be a faithful example, only comes through the gospel message. Very simple. Believe in the life of Jesus. Believe in his death, believe in his burial, believe in his resurrection, and believe in his return. That's the power of the gospel message. No matter where you're at today, no matter how many times you've fallen, no matter how many times that you fallen short of what God wants you to do. His grace is there not because of anything that you've done. It's because of what He's done, because of His love for us. And He not only saves us, but then He gives us a purpose to use His power in our lives. So what do we need? What can we use on a daily basis? We read it earlier in Ephesians chapter 1. The same power that raised Jesus from the dead is the same power that is available to you every day, every minute, every second of your life with all the things that we're facing in our world today. We need to remember His power, and we do that by studying His Word. We'll talk more about that next week when we talk about remembering His teaching. But you need to be in constant contact with His Word to be reminded, as He told Timothy, be reminded of the power that's available to us. We need to know the power source personally, and we need to remember what's most important and most valuable in our lives, our souls. Jesus said, what does it profit a man if he gains the whole world but forfeits his soul? There's a show I like to watch on one of the channels on the Como Canal. I think it's channel 49. I don't know what channel it is actually, but they have a show on there called American Greed. I don't know how many people have watched that show, but it's countless stories of people that saw investment opportunities that sounded really good, and they turned over their life savings in some cases, or they turned over big sums of money, the people that they trusted that would take care of them and multiply them, and they would live lives that they could only imagine, only to find out that they had been scammed. They trusted their physical resources with someone that wasn't trustworthy. We have the one that we know that we believe in, that guards the most important possession that we have, our souls, and it's our decision to turn it over to Him. With all the things going on in our world today, it seems like every week we have another little kind of a gut punch of someone that dies suddenly, someone that we weren't expecting, something in a terrible situation. It reminds me a little bit of my calculus class in high school. I don't think I understood one thing about that class the whole semester. All right? But at the end, somehow I figured it out and I passed the class. The only thing that makes the equation of life make sense is if God is at the end of the equal sign. I can't explain to you why the things have happened that are happening and that will happen in the future. All I can tell you is that the same God that let His Son die on the cross for each one of us, He knows the loss of a son, is the same one that's here for us day in, day out, through no matter whatever we go through the rest of our lives. And remember, He's destroyed death and brought true life and immortality to light.